Welcome to the Field Talk Podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. I'm your host, Dan Lemke. The 33rd annual Carver County Dairy and Beef Expo brought together ag leaders and farmers to address issues and opportunities in those respective industries. In this Field Talk Podcast, we've talked to several experts in dairy and beef marketing. We also address the current situation with the H5N1 avian influenza virus with Dr. Marie Culhane from the University of Minnesota.
Well, in Minnesota, we do have active cases in poultry, what they call backyard poultry in the state, and there are believed some large turkey flocks that have also recently gone down in 2025. So I believe we're at 5 cases in Minnesota in poultry species, bird species in 2025. What's really happening now in the dairy side is it's still in the western parts of the country, so California and Nevada. And Nevada's the big news is because they have H5 infection, but it's a little bit different than the H5 that hit the rest of the country. And so what that just means is that our cattle in the United States, they are susceptible to getting flu. And whether it's this kind of flu or that kind of flu, our cattle are susceptible. And we need to protect them, and we need to change some of the things we're doing to keep them safe, because influenza is shared between humans and animals and birds, and it goes around and around and around, and we've all got to do our part.
And what is it that dairy farmers can do to be observant, but also to take whatever precautions they can to limit their exposure?
Yeah, so it's pretty difficult on the dairy farm because we're indoors and outdoors, right? And that's the great thing is that we let our cattle outside and we have open air and things like that. But there's things you can do to protect your farm from being infected from the most common source, which is other infected cattle or other infected poultry. Because the wild birds, we don't really have control over wildlife. So I'll start with some basic things. So wildlife, even though I said it's difficult to control, what you can do is clean up feed spills. And now when we get into spring, it doesn't feel like spring today, but we might have some low-lying land on our farms where some water will accumulate and the birds will flock to those. And they're like, hey, free place to eat food, free place to rest. I'm going to stay here. So fill in those low-lying areas, clean up those feed spills. And then the other thing is we have the most intimate contact with our dairy cattle in the parlor. So anything you can do to keep that parlor really clean. So that means changing boots before you go into the parlor, maybe having parlor-specific boots. So you're not dragging stuff from the outside into the parlor, because that's where you're going to be handling those cows so much. And my colleague Abby Schuft will go over some of that stuff today in her talk. And then as far as protecting yourself from other infected calves or cattle, maybe find out where your calves are coming from or where your heifers or cattle are coming from and say, well, what's your flu status? And they cattle are so wonderful at responding to and clearing themselves of infection. And there's good evidence that says that once they've had the flu, they're kind of protected. So find out if they've had it now that they're protected. And if they have it, maybe wait if you can. And it's hard to say wait. But try to find out what's the flu status of my cattle coming in. And then the other way that you could protect our cattle is if you're bringing in bird source stuff. So sometimes we use litter for urea source. But let's make sure that we know what that status of that litter is from that farm, that chicken or turkey farm, if you're using that litter. And that's all information that can be tested and figured out. Just partner with your veterinarian or your local lab to find out those things.
And are there resources for folks to go to follow along on the kind of the latest recommendations, or how do you recommend farmers kind of keep up to date on what's happening?
Yeah, so here in Minnesota, the Minnesota Board of Animal Health has an H5 website that shows you the current cases. The USDA has an H5 website as well that links out to wildlife and mammals and poultry, and then it links out to the CDC, because remember I said this is a shared virus. Humans can get this as well. So what human cases are out there, and how can you protect yourself as a human from sharing influenza viruses?
EverAg trading manager Braden Dahl spoke with us about the market opportunities for beef cattle.
really a positive story. We're at the expo here in Carver County, and there's a lot to be positive about on the beef side of the market. We got supplies that are down about 12% from our 2020 highs, and really have not been seeing significant rebuilding of the herd happening yet. And so I'm very, very optimistic that the prices that we're seeing right now, with fat cattle trading well north of $2 and feeder index north of $270, are things that are probably here to stay for the foreseeable future. And the benefit is we have a cattle cycle that has a pretty long tail to it. So I think we're with these prices probably for the next couple years at least.
So if a farmer's in the position to either look at purchasing or expanding herd or marketing, what are some of the things they need to watch for here in the coming months as these markets progress?
Yeah, I think they really need to look at the spread that we're seeing right now between bred heifers and commercial heifers. You look at back in 2014, 2015, when we were seeing tight supplies, we had the spread between those two between $400 to $500. Right now, we have the spread between bred and commercial heifers out to $1,000. And so I think the market is providing you a financial incentive to be breeding your heifers, because down the line, they're likely to be worth significantly more. And I think that's an opportunity right now for producers.
So obviously we've seen volatility in every market here. Is this perhaps something that like you said might have some tail to it, that there might be some positivity in the beef markets for a little bit?
Yeah, I think the positivity is going to continue. I think the managed money position reaching up to record highs between fat cattle and feeder cattle is an opportunity for producers to look at laying off some of their risk here, and especially with the profitability that sits on the table, there are several options for producers that want to participate in a flexible strategy to protect the revenue.
Katie Burgess is a dairy market advisor, also with EverAg. She addresses opportunities and challenges with dairy markets.
We're starting off 2025. I think good news for the producers in the audience today. We've had some good milk prices to start the year. January was over $20 for class 3. February will likely be over $20. So good prices. But we're going to talk a lot today about the volatility that's in the markets. With the uncertainty right now, especially around trade, we're building a lot of new cheese plants in the U.S. here over the past 6 months. So exports are going to be very important. So as you can imagine, in an environment where we're talking about trade wars and tariffs, what happens exactly with dairy and our export potential is really going to determine where prices can go here in 2025.
So what do farmers keep an eye on in those situations like that, where there is so much volatility? What are some strategies that they can employ?
Yeah, I think risk management is going to be key for 2025. So right now, dairy margin coverage sign-up is open at your local FSA office. We always encourage producers to go look at that program, especially for tier one volume. So your first 5 million pounds of milk, the coverage is pretty cheap. It has historically paid out pretty frequently, so I think that's a good risk management program. Also, looking at ways to protect the Class 3 price. This year, our favorite's Dairy Revenue Protection, the crop insurance program. It allows you to put a floor under milk prices. So, if we do run into trouble on the export front and prices fall, you're protected. But if prices stay good like they have been, you still get all the upside in the market.
And I guess overall, both, domestic demand, overseas demand, how strong is demand for dairy, for milk, for cheese, all those good products?
It's a mixed bag. So 2024 was a year of record cheese exports. That was a big part of getting us the higher milk prices we see right now. So that's really important. Domestically, cheese demand was up last year, but the growth was slow. As most people know, it is expensive to go out to eat these days. So with less people eating at restaurants, that means a little less dairy consumption on that front. And just generally, trying to pinch pennies when you go to the grocery store. So, up is up for cheese demand, but it's not the normal growth that we like to see.
Thanks for listening. Find other podcasts at linderfarmnetwork.com and on Apple and Spotify. Get the latest farm news and market information daily from your local LFN affiliate.